All right.
1 Peter 3 and 3. 1 Peter 3 and 3. Own. Esco. Book. Whole. Exulten. M. Plocase. Tricone. Chi. Perinthesios. Crision. A. Indicios. Hamaton. Cosmos. Now these, we talked a little bit about this verse last week. It's called, I entitled this, the Ornaments of Grace. Ornaments of Grace. We talk about women and men ordaining putting ornaments on, watches and fancy earrings and fancy clothes and everything. But this here is talking about the ornaments of grace. Mainly Christian women, is to not look at the outward person, but the inward person. And there's an old saying, pretty is pretty does, and that's very true. Pretty is pretty does. You have a very beautiful woman, but she can act ugly, and she's not pretty anymore. The guy that works with me, we went to town the other day, you know, people run outside, you know, you can't smoke in stores and everything, and they run outside. And there was this pretty girl there, and she ran outside and stuck a cigarette in her mouth. He said, boy, he said, you know what woman was pretty until she did that? It just made her look ugly. There's things that you can do to make yourself look ugly. Ugly. All right? Now, God tells us to ornament ourselves, to set ourselves in order with the things of beauty. Then it says of whom, and of course you have to go back into the previous verses, that it was talking about wives being subject to their own husbands. Here, wives, to conduct yourself in fear and be daughters of Sarah, basically. Sarah called her husband what? What did Sarah call Abraham?
Lord.
She said, Lord, Master. I know my mother had a lot of trouble last week. I was talking about these verses, and she went home and she said that her husband had started being the boss in the home, and it was started taking over the house. And she was teasing me about that. You know, he's taking over. He's taking the reins. Well, men are supposed to take the reins, aren't they? Women are supposed to help them get the reins in their hands. And that's what it's talking about in these verses. 1 Peter 3 and 3.
Brother Gray?
And I owe you two things here.
Well, thank you, God. Here's your cup of dates.
Of whom let it be not the outward as exulten, that means outside or from without, the form of braiding. How many of you ever braided your hair?
You braided your hair?
Yeah. Well, now this braiding and plaiting here, it is a, women have always had the idea that their hair makes them look beautiful. And it does, doesn't. All right? And there's different ways that you can make your hair look pretty. And one of the ways that women have of making their hair look pretty is braiding it and doing it all around different ways. All right? And that's, historically, that's happened all the way back to Cleopatra's day and the time of the writing of this book. But it says, don't worry about that. Hair is a sign of a woman's beauty. All right? I mean, the Mormons used to say that every woman, I don't care if she had a face as long as a horse, ought to have a wife. That's why they believe in multiple marriages. That's what they used to say. And sometimes you can see a woman with long, beautiful hair, and when they turn around and you look at the rest of them, it's not quite so pretty. But the hair is a sign of beauty in you. He said, don't worry about that. Pretty is as pretty does. He said, let it not be the outward braiding of hairs. That's empolkase. Then this word means to intertwine and entangle and braid. All right? And then of hairs, trichoma. There's a disease called trichinosis, and it's a little worm that's in the meat of pork. That's why God didn't want Israel eating pork, because this little worm can, if you don't cook that meat, that little worm gets in your body and it causes you a lot of pain. And the word is trichinosis, and it's a little hair-like worm creature in there. All right? The braiding of hairs. And then it says the placing around of gold. Plural. Now, how can you put gold? How can a person apply gold to themselves? Come on, girls. I mean, you're experts at this.
Fingers.
All right. Earrings. Now, I know some of them got earrings in their eyebrows, or rings in their eyebrows, their nose and lips and ears and every place else. But also, back at this period of time, women would take and they would, hello, Brother Norton. They would take and make gold hairnets. And they would put golden hairnets on their head. Golden hairnets. 1 Peter 3:3. And then it says, our clothing, indicios. Now this is a... Now James, by the way, James 5:1-3 and James 2:2-3, it talks about an word that means place around. Place gold all over your body. That's what it means. James says, don't have respect for persons when they come into the church house because they have a lot of gold jewelry on. He calls them gold fingers there. Remember there was a movie called Goldfinger and Song and stuff like that.
Well, James Bond movie.
Yeah, James Bond, the James Bond movie. These people had all of their fingers lined with gold that would come in there that James was talking about. He said, don't give them any more respect than the poor beggar that comes in the church house. And the word clothing there, indicios, that's a real, real old word, and it's used here only in the New Testament. Peter uses it only here. It's an old, ancient, what we call dialect word from classical Greek. All right? And it means to bind around. And then it says himation, and that's basically garments. And then cosmos, we get a word cosmetic from that word cosmos. Okay? That means to set in order. He said, don't worry about braiding your hair, placing gold all over your body, or tying clothing on, our garments, and setting everything in order. It's nice. A woman looks nice when she has herself in order, doesn't she? Well, isn't that right? Sure it does. I mean, it's a lot better looking one out there than rolling around with the dogs in the backyard or out there slopping off with the hogs. I mean, a woman that's nice and clean and set in order looks better than somebody that's been wallowing around out in the field. That's just plain. But he said, don't worry about it. What really needs to be set in order, okay? Now this word, putting on beautiful garment, clothes, golds, and everything else, is from the inside of a person. They need to be set in order from the inside. Three in verse four. All. That comes from Allah, doesn't it? Huh. Allah. It's short in form. It's shortened for euphony, by the way, so it'll sound good. All, whole, kritos, pais, kardios, anthropos, in, toe, optharto, to, pra, eos, kai, hesukio, Numbatos, Ho, Essen, and Opion, Tu, Theu, Ole, Tiles. Let's go look back and look at some of these. We're talking about the unstainable spirit and the ornaments of grace. Thus, the kryptos, but, strong adversative conjunction, from that alma, and then whole and kryptos. What is the word kryptos or kryptos? What do you think it comes into English, doesn't it? Huh? Kryptos. Kryptos. How about cryptic? What's a crypt? What's a crypt? Something where you hide something in it. All right? The word apocalypse means what? To unhide or to uncover. All right? Apocalypse, to unhide or to uncover. This is the word cryptic or secret. And it says, but the hidden of the heart, the hidden things, all right, of the heart of mankind. All right, Paul uses the words the outer man and the old man and the inner man and the new man, doesn't he? Doesn't he? When you're living lost in a world, I went someplace the other day, I think we went out to eat or something the other day, and on the back of somebody's t-shirt says, life is short, be cruel and greedy. Never give a sucker a fair shake. That's the old man, isn't it? Take advantage of every situation and make it for your good. There was a woman that brought out a philosophy. Her name was Ayn Rand. And the philosophy was, no matter what you do, you can justify it, because if it's for you, then it's, I don't care if you kill somebody or cheat or lie or whatever you do, you're doing it for yourself. So you're doing it for a noble cause. That's what we call worldlings. That's in the last, the old preachers used to call people worldlings. A worldling. Somebody that thought of the things of the world. I keep telling you, do something eternal. Do something eternal. Do something for Christ. What can you do for Christ? I had a couple of guys come by my house to comfort me yesterday. Brother Art and Fernando came by yesterday and spent about an hour with me, praying with me and talking with me about the sickness I have and all that. And I really enjoyed it. That was eternal things. My wife and I stayed up talking about eternal things the other night until about 1:30 in the morning, talking about things of God. You witness to people. One of the most fabulous experiences that I had in the last month is Margaret's son. He is very good friends with the head of Walt Disney. And his doctor called me on the phone last Friday. And he spent an hour talking to me. When he got through talking to me, I felt like $1 million. I felt real good. He is a Christian doctor. And he asked me what I've been doing with my life. And I told him, well, I've been teaching and doing a lot of things like that. And he was really happy. And he started telling me the things that he had done for people. Working, going into St. Jude and going into St. Joseph and UCLA and the City of Hope. Donating his time. And how did he have a church had sent him and helped him to go through medical school here. He had double doctorate, an osteopath and an MD, two doctors. And he went through my case and everything, and he told me, he says, I want you to know that you've got my home phone number. If you ever need me for anything, you call me. If you need to go in the hospital someplace and things don't work out good, you holler at me, because I know all the right people. Yeah. That doctor really... He said, that's my retirement fund, what I do for people for free. Because it's, I'm doing it for God. That's the kind of attitude. That's an otherworldly attitude, isn't it? You're not going to gather that from the mass of society, are you? That was uplifting. That really uplifted me. And here are the things that he had done. That was wonderful. the hidden things of the heart of mankind. It says in the incorruptible. In toll, in the, that sounds almost like English, doesn't it? In toll, in the, uncorruptible, authorto. That's this word. That which cannot be corrupted, soiled, dirtied, or tainted, or stained. Wouldn't it be nice if you could have socks like that? Huh? Somebody, I was sick the other day, run around the house with my bare feet. It usually acts like I have socks on. I run around the house with socks on my feet. Somebody honked the horn out the front yard. And I ran out the front door, and it had been raining, and I had to run all the way around the house, and my socks were very stained by the time I got back here. And I don't know whether my wife ever got those straightened out or not. That's what happened with those socks that were in there that were really dirty. My socks don't usually look like that. This is stuff. This, it says, the hidden things of the heart which cannot be corrupted. That's that born-again spirit that you have in you. Brother Bill, this is really important. This is that spirit that cannot be touched by Satan, that he can never touch. That which is born of God is not of this earth. And when you're born again, you have that in you, and that, the Bible says, never sins. Smile, people. That never sins. We live and we waller among sin. But that spirit, that born again spirit in us, never sins. It is, but John says it's incapable of sinning. Because it is of God. It is the Spirit of God that dwells in us. Uncorruptible. Uncorruptible. All right, this uncorruptible. And then it says, of the meekly. Look at that word, praeos. Meek. You know what makes you really meek in life? Sin. Because we're sinners, aren't we? Saved people are sinners saved by grace. We sin outwardly. How could you sin this week? You people, I saw you last week, this class. How could you sin? You don't have to say anything. You don't have to tell what you did. Just think about it for a while. How could you sin this last week? And the outward man, now the inner man, we know, cannot sin. But the flesh sins, doesn't it? Many times it sins because we allow it to. Because we have ungodly lust and ungodly appetites and ungodly desires. And we're going to get into that. Meekly, one of the things that should keep us meek is knowing who we are. We're saved by grace. By the grace of God, and we're kept saved by the grace of God. And then it says, this word, hesukiu. Now on page 575 or page 576 in Bollinger's Word Studies of the New Testament, there is a synonyms. One of them is shalom. Shalom. That's Hebrew. What does shalom mean?
That's the one I was asking you about. It's like the end, the finish, or something like that.
Shalom.
I can't remember, but that was the one he kept saying in the field of, in the scripture, and I asked you about, and you were to explain it.
Oh, Selah. It means rest. Take your time out.
That's
okay, that's it means rest. Oh. It means peace. To set back and contemplate.
Thought that was shalom.
All right, Selah. That's Hebrew word. That's Selah. It means rest. Contemplate, just have a good time, now step back and meditate.
Not the same word we're talking about.
Not the same word, but it's somewhat the same word. Alright? Because this word shalom, which the word Jerusalem comes from, Jerusalem means city of peace. Shalom means peace. There's another word in Greek that's areni. Areni. And that word is peace. It means absolute tranquility. It means to be hid from any turmoil, our stress, our pressures of society or anything. It means to be tranquil and quiet and at peace. And not only does it mean that, but it means while you are silent, to be intent on listening and hearing the voice of God. That's all in this worship. Think about that for a while. To be silent but alert. To be at peace but listening. And that word spirit, pneumatos, we get our word pneumatic and things from this word spirit. Okay? Pneumatics. And then it says, which it is in the presence of the God. Enopion, that means right down in His presence. Of the God of great value. And the word politios, telis there, it comes from a word telio. And we get a word terminal from that. Now, it says that all of these things, the hidden heart of man that is incorruptible, and the meek and the quiet spirit that a person is to adorn themselves with, and especially talking about women here, okay? Some women are everything but quiet. And just before this, it says that if a woman would obey her husband and be a good, shining example of Christianity, that she could win her husband without one word from her mouth. But by him seeing Christianity living in her. Now it says here that this, all of this is of great value for the end result, because it means more than a great value. What's it say in King James or something there? Anyone have that open? You got your Bible open there, brother?
Of a gentle, quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God.
All right.
Is that what you wanted to hear?
Well, yeah, but it's missing the whole point.
Oh.
They left it out.
This is a new King James.
Okay, they left it out. It's very precious in the sight of God, but the word precious there, it means that the end result of it is extremely valuable. How many of you don't know what God wants you to do in your life? I know what God wants me to do. You know that? I know that He wants me to teach His Word. That's my whole goal in life. That's my number one goal. The reason why I'm left here. My mother says, you can't teach tonight. I've almost got pneumonia. That's why I'm out having surgery Monday. I got sick. My wife says, tonight she sat there, Jim, you're too sick to go. You need to sit here like this and listen to her. I said, you know why God leaves me here? I said, don't discourage me. Say, I'll be right behind you, sweetheart. That's the way we're to look at the eternal things. And then she said, I will be. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know that God wants me to teach His Word. That's why I'm still here in this world. Many times I should have been dead a long time ago. And I'm living on borrowed time right now. I've got one foot on a banana peel and the other one in the grave. But while I'm still up here and standing up, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And I know what He wants me to do, whether I feel like it or not. We're supposed to preach when it's easy and when it's not easy, aren't we? A little bit.
You want to read mine? Mine's open by it.
Oh, yeah, read that if you want to.
It says, but let us be hidden, the hidden man of the heart, in which is not corrupt, but even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of a great price.
Yeah, it's worth a lot of value, a great price, but the idea is in the end, the retirement fund. That's this word. This word has got value in there, and it's got the end value. It's got the end result. If you don't know what God wants you to do with your life, you just go ahead and do it, what you're supposed to be doing right today, and maybe God will get you where He wants you tomorrow, and that's the way we should live life. Because He has a purpose in your life. He does have a purpose in your life. There is something for you to do for Him. Today, when you're on the job, you can witness for the Lord. You can witness by just being, you don't have to say a word to anybody else. You can sit right there at lunchtime and pray. And ask God's blessing over your food. You think that witnesses? Without saying a word to anybody else, you're talking to God, and they're saying, this guy is a man of God. This woman is a child of God. They have religion in their heart. We see these things. We can look at somebody's life without them ever saying anything to us and realize that, hey, this person is witnessing just by the way they are. How do you drive your car down the road? Do you drive like a Christian or a hog? Oh. Makes a lot of difference then. 3 and verse 5. Ornaments of grace again, ordained with submission. Hutos. Gar. Pote. Kai. Kai. Hagie. Gene. Case. Hey. Alpizusa. Lucy. Ace. Theon. Ekos moon. Kiotos. Hippotaso mene. Tois. Idiois. Andrasin. Let's go back and look at a bunch of these words. Now, if you read King James, you read the Living Bible, you read anything. Then when you read it in the original language, it just blows, the original language just blows all those translations away, because we're not reading a translation here. We're reading the Word of God. The real stuff. Hutos. This little word is in this manner. It's a little adverb. You can look at it from page 296. Our soul, or thusly, literally, are in such a way. For in such a way, then, indeed, the ones holy women. All right? What holy women is it talking about here? Who's speaking? Who's speaking here?
Who's the first Peter?
Peter. Who's he speaking to?
Church.
He's speaking to churches all over. This is a general epistle to all the churches. All right, now, he's talking about something that happened before this period of time. So, what is he talking about? Old Testament times. What women do you think he's talking about? The women of the Old Testament that were godly examples to women today. All right? Who was a godly example in the New Testament period? One of the real godly examples.
Mary.
Martha. The women that lived back then. Elizabeth. All right. The woman that stayed in the temple there, that had dedicated her whole life to the service of God, that lived in the, around the temple area, that was a servant in the temple. Remember? When Jesus was circumcised and she was there and she praised God. This is the woman that's talking about. Holy women. The word holy there, now this is a plural word in it. Holy ones. And what is the word holy? It comes from Alpha on the front and gay, not of earth. Okay? Women that had their birthing in the heavens. These are godly women. These are women that are born again. All right, the ones hoping. The ones hoping. Elpizusin. Zuse. Anomaly, plural, feminine, present, participle, active. Hoping always. What were they hoping in? hoping because of God. Look at that word ace there. See that word ace? That ace means extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. That's what the idea of this preposition is. The extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. And in this verse here, it says they're hoping because of God. Because of their relationship with God, within God. The word hope here means more than hoping, as you see it in English. This is a guaranteed hope. This is a guaranteed future existence with God. Elpizo. That's the root of this word. It means a guaranteed future existence, a guaranteed hope, a guaranteed assurance. Okay? It says they kept on adorning themselves. They kept on adorning themselves. Third person plural, imperfect indicative active. That comes from cosmos. The word cosmos comes from this. It means the order of things. They kept ordaining. They kept ordering themselves. They kept on adorning themselves. And then it said submitting themselves. Nominative plural pronoun, present participle. And guess what voice this is in? Middle voice. For themselves, they are adorning themselves. Because volition is involved here. You can be a rebellious child of God, or you can be a submissive child of God. You can be a rebellious wife, or you can be a submissive wife. They kept on adorning themselves, submitting themselves to their own what? Husbands. They're ordaining themselves with, adorning themselves, that is, with submission. With meekness, with mildness, with a meek spirit, with a mild spirit. My family would not believe who I think of when I think about this. But I think of Fred Buss's sister Christine. See, I remember her, my cousin, which was her husband, when he was out drinking and carousing and playing havoc out through the neighborhood, and would go home and hook on her and abuse her verbally, and she would smile and cook dinner. And just endure it. What a woman. That took a lot of grace. That's what the Bible says. They are ordained with grace. That's a gift. Did you know that? It is a gift to submit to somebody that's not worth submitting to. Later on in his life, the old boy was saved. Thank the Lord. And things changed in their life. But she put up with that for a lot of years. He told me later on in life, he said, I sure had a good wife, even when I wasn't worthy of having one. God was really good to me, and I wasn't worthy of it. What a woman to put up with me like she did. She did that after he was saved. Before that, you would have never told him anything, because he just wiped his feet on her. But God set his life in order, and God rewarded that woman for all the submission that she had done. And I tell you what, a lot of women would say, man, I want out of this. They lived in a shack. They took showers out in the backyard underneath the tree with towels hung around it and maybe a piece of tin up. Didn't have hardly any food to eat or anything. And she was submitting herself. Ordaining her, adorning herself with a meek spirit. Peter was just telling, some of you Christian slaves have real abusive masters. When you get beat up and thrashed and beaten and abused, you just keep on taking it because that's a gift of God that you can endure. Enduring. 3 and verse 6. Women, it's really pouring on you, isn't it? How many of you like this kind of preaching? We need it, don't we? Host. Sarah. People ke usum. Tol. Abram. Kirio. Alton. Kalusa. Hayes. Again, they. Tekna. Agatho poi use. Kai. Me. Obu nene. Me de neon. To asin. All right. There we have the word host again. In the same manner, Sarah. And this word comes from hipo and akuo. We get our word acoustic from this, and you get the word hypoglycemia, which means low blood sugar. Okay? And anything that's hypo, it means under. Hypothermia. What's hypothermia? Your body's too cold. Okay? Alright, hypothermia. People die of hypothermia. Their temperature's too low. The outside, the ambient temperature, they're in 30 below zero, and they don't live very long because they have a hypothermic situation here. Okay? We get these words in English from the Greek words. And it is hipo akuo here. Now, akuo means to hear. But what does hipo mean? To hear under? That's what it literally means, but what do you think it means here? Third person singular, first aorist indicative active. How are women supposed, what did Sarah do? She listened to her husband's voice and obeyed him. Not only did she listen, she set her life in order according to that voice. That's what this word obey here means, to hear under. She obeyed to the Abram. All right? Now, Abram, what did they, Abraham had two names, didn't he? Abram and Abraham. How about, what does Abram mean?
Father.
Huh?
Father.
Exalted father. Abram means exalted father. What does Abraham mean? Abraham. That's Eam on the end of it. That's a Hebrew plural, isn't it?
Father.
Huh? The father of a multitude. Which he came. You know, a lot of our problems we're having in the world today is because of old father Abraham and his ungodly desire to bring forth too many children. He fathered the race of the Messiah and then all the rest of these Arab races. We're having problems with them, aren't we? You know, that's going to be the central factor that draws the world to the Middle East, along with that pool of oil over there.
Couple more weeks.
This is the what we call eschatology. That word eschatology, that means last things too. And that word we talked about just a few minutes ago, the end result, the glorification of the end. You know, God is going to be glorified in the end times. Isn't he? Israel will beg God to forgive them. They're going to have to go through a whole lot of persecution first, but he's going to bring that about. Sarah, she listened under this Abraham and Lord to him called Lord, Kyrios, Master. Brother Norm, did your wife call you Master this week?
No.
Mine didn't do it either. If she hasn't said Master all this week, she will when she gets home, I know she will. Mom, have you called your husband Master this week?
Not really.
No, not really.
Yes.
Yes.
The reason why women had to obey their husband is because they were secondary creation. Is that right?
Well, yes, that's got a lot to do with it. How God set the created order of things. He created man, he took and he took man became for right direct creation of God, primary creation of God, and he took woman from man, and she was supposed to be in subject to man. But that man is supposed to be worthy to be subject to. Mm-hmm. Men, you're supposed to be the leaders in your home spiritually. Number one, first thing. If you're not the spiritual leader, the spiritual leader in your home, don't try to be a leader any other way first. First of all, that's the first thing you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. The first thing you do is to be the spiritual leader in your home, and then you can do the rest. Be the spiritual leader in your home. All right? Calling him Lord, of whom ye became. Now, who is he talking about here? This word comes from Genemiah. This again, that thing, second person plural, first aorist indicative passive. It means ye were caused to become. Ye were caused to become. And it says techna. We get our word technique from it. We get our word technology. All of this comes from this. And what it means is a born son. You made something. When you bring forth a child, you make something, don't you? It takes a lot of technology, you know, for God to put that in our bodies where we can bring forth little children. Okay? It said you became children. Of whom you became children? Of whom? Whom is this talking about? Sarah. Now, the Bible teaches us that we're born the first time of the flesh, aren't we? And when we're born again, the flesh, all the flesh gives us is what? Death. When you're born into this world, you're born to die. We are. We're not going to get by with it. Do you know anybody that got by without dying?
Enoch.
Well, Enoch and Elijah, but I didn't really personally know them. That happened a long time ago. But I know it happened, and I believe it from the Word of God, but I never knew those two guys, except what I can read that they wrote and what they did in their lives. I don't know them, but do you know anybody that even lived 250 years. I mean, you can read the world's records, and there's some guys that were really old. But do you know anybody that lived 1,000 years? Besides Methuselah living 969 years. Those are real years, all right. But the guy's dead. Methuselah means when he's dead, he shall come to pass. He's the oldest guy in the world, but he dies just like everybody else. Because he was born of a woman and a man. He was born into the human race, and when you're born into the human race, you're born into death. Because we all sin. But I got the good news now. When you're born again, you're born to never die. You never die. You're never going to die like a dog. Or a cat, or a bird. You're not going to die and just stay there. You have an eternal existence with God. You are. You do. You have an eternal existence with God. As Sarah, she obeyed Abraham, the Lord calling him, of whom ye became children. Practicing good deeds. Look at that word. Aga to poi ouse, say. This comes from Agathos and Poyo. Practicing good deeds. Habitually doing good things. Well, I've been sick lately. I can't get out and do things as much as I used to. So my wife let me order the Western Channel. And I've been watching Gene Autry in the afternoon sometimes. I'll go set it. That guy sings some real good Christian songs. Now, every program on all the shows that he used to do, there was some good Christian idea behind all of it. Really neat. I didn't realize that before. I mean, even though I was a little kid, I just didn't see the things I'm seeing now. What a good example. Good deeds. And you know what? Every cowboy, everybody that you ever hear talk about Gene Autry is about a nice guy. The nice, clean-cut guy that he was. Nice, clean-cut guy. He did a lot of good things. A lot of good deeds. And not fearing any terror. And not fearing Kai me Fobu Mene, fearing. Not only plural feminine in present participle and passive. Not being caused to fear. That's something. When I first saw Brother Bill tonight, he asked me a question. Are you getting nervous? I said, not right now. They postponed my surgery again. You know, anytime, I mean, I've been operated on about four or five times majorly. And every time I went in there feeling all right. And when I came out, I wasn't feeling all right. And I'm dreading that, because they're going to chop me up in little pieces. And I know that. I know I'm going to come out in great pain. And I know what it is to wake up from that 5 or 6 hours of surgery, and they say, breathe deep now. Breathe deep. And standing there struggling and going on and through all the pain and misery you got to go through. I'm dreading it. But if I don't make it through it, I don't have to fear that either. And I know where I'm going. That I don't have. Sickness drags you down. But we don't have to fear and we don't have to dread being with the Lord. When we leave this life, we're going home. Did you know that? When we leave here, we're going to a great homecoming. We get to see that. It says, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. That's a little baby's term for dada. 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 We say dada. That's the way we should call upon God. Because He is our Father. He's the one that birthed us. He's the one that came down to this earth and gave His life that we could be with Him. That we can walk in glory. You hear about people crossing over into the next life and maybe coming back and they see this beautiful life and all those kinds of things. Well, there was a man in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts that was being tortured and bitten to death. And you know what he said? I see Jesus. We'll never kill him. He said, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. It says, not fearing, may they me on. It comes from three little words. May, that means not. And they, that's a weak adversative conjunction. And not, moreover. And then we have this word me on there. That's a little numeral which means one. Nothing is what it means. Not anything. Not one thing of terror. This word, patoa asin. This is a late, rare word and used only in Luke 21 verse 9 here in the New Testament. And this word means to terrify. We don't have to fear those things. Nor do we have to fear the world. Well, I was sitting down again this afternoon because I couldn't get out and do much. I got out 2 or 3 times a day and I will spend most of my day sitting today, which bores me to death. I turned on the Western Channel again. I was watching Gunsmoke. Real neat things. And this old guy in there, he was a kind of a... He wanted to be called the old man, and he was kind of a jerk sometimes. But he had a philosophy that if you were innocent, you were innocent. They couldn't do anything bad to you. And somebody framed him for murdering this guy, and the judge condemned him to hang by the neck. And all the time he was going to court and everything else, he says, I'm innocent. I don't have anything to be afraid of. But they hung him. And the murderer got away. No matter what the world does to you, you don't have to worry, because the last judgment is before the Lord anyway. When we go through trials and tribulations in this life, we do have them, don't we? If you got up this morning, you're going to have trials and tribulations. Did anybody not have a trial and tribulation today? I want to know you. I don't even want to see. Everything go all right? When you were coming to church, did all the right lights green? Nobody cuts you off? The next verse here, number 7, it says, know your wife. That's what it says. That's the idea. Know your wife. Know your wife. Hoi. Andres. Homios. Sin oi kun tes. Kara. Nusen. Hos. Astanes tero. Skue. To. Genekeu. Apolnu. Apolnumontes. Tamein. Hos. Kai. Sug clero nomois. Caritos. Zoes. Ace to. Me. Egg cop te se te. Tos. Prosukos. And himo. Now, let me say, explain something to you. What Peter's talking about here, he says that the woman was the weaker vessel in the garden. Satan did not approach man, as far as we know, because man could not be confronted with evil and sin like the woman did, because she was deceived. He had been taught by God, and he knew where all the evil was coming from. So Satan did not approach the man, did he, directly? How did Satan approach the man? How did he get to the man, human race? Through his wife, whom he loved, didn't he? All right? Now, what Peter is saying here, she was a weaker vessel in the garden. And women are emotionally weaker than men are, supposedly. I've seen some pretty weak men out there. Pretty weak men in the world.
I'm looking for a video.
The ones men, husbands, likewise, dwelling together according to knowledge. What knowledge? You're supposed to dwell together. Who are you supposed to dwell together with? Women.
Women. Your wives.
What he's telling us to know your wives and to dwell together with them, it says according to knowledge. You are supposed to have the knowledge of God and what God and purpose that God has for your family. A man should have that in his mind always. That he is supposed to always dwell and run his household for the Lord. You're there. God put you there instead of being there himself. Did you know that? Men? You're in Jesus' place in your home. You are the head. You're the spiritual leader of your home. What you like to be or not, that's your job. And if you don't do that, don't expect to be any other kind of boss. That's the first thing you're supposed to do. According to knowledge, and then here we go, as with weaker vessels. Now, we know that women aren't dumb, don't we? You ever try to outsmart one of them? It's a losing battle, son.
It is.
Did you ever try to outwork one of them?
Amen.
You're dead meat. You're done for. Did you ever try to outlive one of them? They'll bury you.
Amen.
It's just not going to work. Hello, Brother Jim. A woman is stronger in every way in this world than a man, except for one way. And that's emotional. Some way in this world, God left her just a little bit short on this emotion business. She's stronger in every other way, except for that way. And we're supposed to understand that. And we're supposed to stand in the gap of that. All right? According to knowledge, as with a weaker vessel. Now, I already told you, she's stronger than you. She can outwork you. She can outlive you. She can outthink you. So don't think she's any weaker in any of those ways. Brother Bill, are you agreeing with me?
No, you give them a big head.
No, oh, this is absolute fact. That's just the way it is, people. Men, you got to have to realize that. As with a bigger vessel, and it's not talking about any of those things. It says that to the female, assigning honor. Look at that. That word honor there means to not only honor somebody, but to behave in an honorable manner, to behave carefully. Sometimes you have to guard your mouth when you're talking to your wife, because I'll tell you what, they have recorders in their heads. Little recorders. You better be careful what you say. Assigning honor, as indeed. Look at this word now. Sig clay roll no mois. Sig, that comes from the word seen. And the word seen, synthetic, means when you put something together. Things together to make another thing. You put two things to make one thing. All right? Symphony. Symphony comes from this word. What does a symphony mean? A sound that all of the noises come together into a beautiful noise. A beautiful sound. All right? So we have together here, and then we have clairo. Clairo means to divide. That means a lot. That means a division. So now we have together, and we have division, and then we have a nomos here. Nomos is law. Together, divided law. What in the world does that word mean? Divided according to law. Joint heirs according to law. Woman saved the same way man saved. She's a joint heir in Jesus Christ with you. And let me tell you something, men. You ought to be the spiritual head of your home. Sometimes your wives are. And they should not have to be. Should they? Because you're shirking your duties. All right. Co-heirs. Caritos sozais. Of the grace of life. The gift of life. The grace of life. And then we have aisto me ekopeste. In order that, or so that not to be, and here is another rare word that Peter uses, so that your prayers won't be cut off. Look at that. You know that your wife can keep you from praying? If your house, your home gets disjointed, do everything you can to get it back together so you can pray. That's right. If your household is in turmoil, then your prayers are cut off to God. Because first of all, if a man's the head of the home, what else is he supposed to do? Keep the home in order. And if he's got things out of order in his home, since he's the spiritual head of his home, guess what? He's not doing his job. You think your boss is going to be wanting to communicate to you when you're not doing your job? No. Your prayers can be cut off. That's what the ordinary means, chopped off. Interrupted. Present infinitive passive. The prayers of you. Yes, Martin?
What about the single home?
Well, if you've got a single home, then you're responsible for you. The man's responsible for himself. The woman's responsible for herself. She is supposed to be the spiritual leader of his home. He is supposed to be the spiritual leader of his home. Still not going to get out of it. If you're the only one there, guess who's responsible? You. That's the way it is. And you're supposed to still submit to your own husband. If you don't have a husband, then who you're supposed to submit to? God. All right. Submit. Conduct yourself as if the Lord was in your home. Husbands, you are the representative of God in your homes. I don't know how much greater responsibility that can be. Think about that. You are the responsible head, godly head of your home. You won't shirk that duty. Because when you come before God, God will hold you responsible for your home. When you leave this life, if you have not been the head of your home, and you have not been the leader of your home, and you're saved, you are going to get some stripes on your back. Because you're responsible for doing that. God is going to hold you responsible now. If you're not the head of your home, guess what you're going to get right now? Misery. Well, is that right? God doesn't bend His rules for you, does He? Misery. Because you're supposed to be the head of the home. Your children are supposed to be looking up to you and say, "Daddy, I've got a problem. Can you pray with me?" Your wife should be able to come to you and say, "Sweetheart, husband, Lord, I'm having a problem here. Pray with me. I want to pray with you." I hope your wife doesn't ever say to you, "You know, Bill, you're supposed to be the head of the home today, the spiritual head of our home. What have you been? You on vacation or something?"
She meant to serve dinner, she said, "Fat boy."
We don't have vacations from that, do we? Everybody wants to retire. We'll get to retire from being heads of our homes when we leave this land. When we leave this world. Not until then. Pray in verse 10. By the way, I'll be here Sunday. Those that came in late, I have got almost pneumonia again. So they postponed my surgery for another month, and I hope that I can hold out with this cancer not spreading. And anyway, I'll be here Sunday. I still got you down there, Norm. You're going to be the first week I'm gone. It'll be the third right now when they're going to do that. Thank you for your attention tonight. I hope you learned something from the Word of God. They still got a thing going on out there, but it is 10 minutes after 7, and I'm going to turn you loose. And Thank you for your attention. I hope you learned something from God's Word. I hope it blessed your heart. There's some real hard lessons here, aren't they?
This is a very good lesson tonight. I think, you know, I think you do the best work, but you don't feel good.
I tell you what, I'm going to tell you something, Brother Bill. If I ever got to preach when I wasn't under pressure, sickness, or emotional something or other, I don't know what I could do up here.
Well, you did good.
We did a good job on this.
I forgot my cough pill tonight because I've been coughing my head off. Coughed so hard, my throat's bleeding. And I said, my wife, when we got about 7 miles from the house, I thought, I forgot to take my cough pill. You know what? I don't know why I didn't cough tonight, Adam. That goes to show you one thing. If you put your hands, yourself in God's hands, He'll take care of you. Now, when I go home, I will probably collapse. But right now, God is taking care of me.
Holding you up.
Yeah, that's right. He is the one that holds me up. I've been up here so bad sometimes, and I thank you people for putting up with me because my brain doesn't even work anymore, especially when I was having that radiation. I tell you what, I didn't know who I was. That stuff really scrambles your brains. I mean, they weren't even working on that end, but it was scrambling my brain. I mean, nothing was working. I couldn't remember who I was or what I was doing when I got up here hardly. But you place yourselves in God's hands. I hope that's one thing I've done, is to show you how to be faithful. Because God is faithful to you. Brother Jim, could you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Dear Lord, we do thank you for this evening. It's another opportunity to learn your word. Thank you for Brother Jim, to us. You can open your word and help teach us what you have there for us. Let me just pray now for his continued good health, that he'll be well enough to undergo what medical procedures are necessary that will fight this disease that he's fighting. Lord, we just ask that you put your hand of healing on him and his family. Lord, keep them together. Bring him back to us well and Lord, keep this group together through this week as we continue to study your word. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.